It's Thursday, which means it's Lightning Thursday here on the Q. The Hendersonville Lightning is on the streets and in your mailboxes, and it's time for us to get behind the headlines of this week's Hendersonville Lightning with editor and publisher of Hendersonville Lightning and HendersonvilleLightning.com, Mr. Bill Moss. Good morning, Bill. Happy Lightning Thursday to you, sir.
Good morning. Happy to be here, and happy Lightning Thursday to you as well.
We're going to start out with a couple of tough stories, Bill. One which is, of course, in national news right now, but has a local ties right here, not just local from a state standpoint, but local to right here in Henderson County, and that's the terrible tragedy of yet another school shooting, the one that happened in UNC Charlotte.
Yes, it was, and sadly, I think it's kind of the nature of parents, certainly newspaper editors, but anybody with, you know, when you have a local community, you say, well, we got a lot of kids down there at UNC Charlotte. I sure hope none of them were in harm's way in that shooting. And it turns out, in this case, we had one of the two fatalities. One of them was this young man who is widely, universally, I would say, at this point, being hailed as a hero who saved really many lives. I just was reading another kind of narrative of what was going on in that classroom, and it was a large classroom. There were something around 50 kids in there, and the fatality number would have been far, far higher had it not been for Riley Howe, young Mr. Howe, age 21. Apparently, this is confirmed by the Charlotte-Mecklenburg Police Chief Carr Putney in a news conference yesterday. Apparently, charged at or otherwise did something to take down or temporarily disable the accused shooter, young man by the name of Tristan Andrew Terrell, age 22. To take him down long enough, certainly to stop the shooting in the moment or in that instant, and long enough, certainly, for the authorities who were also quickly responding to take Mr. Terrell into custody, the shooter, the accused shooter, but unfortunately, the selfless act of sacrifice did cost Riley Howe his life. He is his mother is Natalie Henry Howe. She is the youngest daughter of Mary Hill Henry, who lives in Edneyville, very active. I think she's in Edneyville Grange. She's active in the Edneyville community.
Yeah.
And so it was a very sad development when we did hear yesterday, if I first heard yesterday morning that might be the case. And we started making some calls and actually also looking at some of the social media coverage of that shooting at UNC Charlotte and found it to sadly be the case. State Representative Brian Turner put out a message about it on Twitter saying part of the alert that the school sent out yesterday said run, hide, fight. And early reports said Riley chose to fight and was fatally shot while attempting to physically confront and stop the shooter. This selfless act would have delayed the shooter, giving police more time to respond and prevent further deaths. Riley Howe will be remembered for his courage, for the life he lived, for the lives he saved. I ask you to join me in keeping Riley's family in your prayers. the chief said of Howe that he did exactly what we train people to do. You're going to run, you're going to hide and shield, or you're going to face the assailant. He did the latter, and his sacrifice saved lives. And that's from the police chief, Carr Putney.
Cannot help but wonder when you hear stories like that what you would do in a situation. And I can't imagine. First of all, you just can't put yourself in those shoes. But to hear stories of that kind of heroism is just—it's just amazing.
Yeah, I don't think so. There was this write-up I just mentioned a minute ago in the Charlotte Observer, and it described, had a lot of eyewitness and from the students that were in the room. I think some of them that were closer—I don't know where in the classroom Riley was—but some of them that were closer to the doors, and it was a large classroom, and some would have been kind of far from the doors.
Right.
Where the other option was hide under a table, or you know, the hide option versus the run option.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, probably one of character and ethics, and just his commitment to others before himself, Riley didn't choose those things. Riley chose to do something to stop it because thinking well, this could get really worse. And
yeah,
we know what happened there. The end. In the end.
Wow. And again, national news. We've been hearing that on hearing his story on our ABC news feed, and Paige said she saw it on Good Morning America this morning as well. So
it's kind of gone on for. I mean, you hate to compare news cycles, but seemingly for more news cycles than some of them, I think because, for one, this act of heroism has generated a lot of publicity, deservedly so. But also, so maybe a little more unusual to have them in a college classroom like this. So just a lot of factors that made it newsworthy. And it was the last day of classes, I think, at UNC Charlotte.
I keep thinking, Bill, that the next school shooting is finally going to be the one that we start doing something about it. And it just seems like we just wait on the next one. I'm just tired of hearing those stories. I feel like something should be done.
You know, I haven't seen a I don't think I've seen a single word of coverage and among the reactions from North Carolina politicians, either in the state house or the state senate or Congress or anywhere else, at least from someone in a position of leadership in any of those chambers, say, yeah, we'll do something about gun control, or this kid that's accused of doing this shooting, also read had a legally authorized gun permit, which they were able to look up from back in October or something. So,
wow.
some other screening needs to improve, or we'll see if that happens in this case. Don't know that it will.
Let's move on to another story, Bill, and this is another one of those, surprise things. Our county IT director just passed away suddenly there at the courthouse, and this happened just, was it yesterday?
It did happen Tuesday morning. And it was another one of those cases where sort of like, you know, didn't know what we had until we lost her, or didn't appreciate and really think about it. That's the reaction from county employees, certainly the reaction from Steve White when he was quickly on the scene along with county personnel who knew something about emergency services, and then, of course, the entire emergency services personnel when Becky Snyder, the county's information technology director for the past 13 years and a county employee for about 20, was in a meeting with the assistant county manager, Amy Brantley, and for reasons that we do not know yet, medically, collapsed, and despite what the county manager described as Herculean and heroic efforts, her coworkers had got to her almost instantly, according to Wyatt's account, and certainly the trained paramedics and emergency personnel were working on Becky and unable to save her. So we don't have a whole lot more details. Read HendersonvilleLightning.com, which was the first to report this story yesterday, late morning or afternoon, and return to the Hendersonville Lightning for something, for information about funeral arrangements. Married to Bill Snyder, people might know of for a long time, the county library director,
yeah.
Retired some 4 to 5 years ago, Bill did, I think. So look for that, and thoughts and prayers go out for all of these families, for all of these sad and certainly unexpected things and occurrences in both cases to those families and their friends and co-workers and co-students and student body and so forth.
Absolutely. Bill Moss, editor and publisher of Hendersonville Lightning and HendersonvilleLightning.com, on the radio for Lightning Radio. We've just touched on two stories that are on HendersonvilleLightning.com. We'll get to the newspaper here in just a moment. You're listening to Lightning Radio on WTZQ.
Kaysen Builder Supply, the official sponsor of patio season, providing quality landscape and masonry materials, exceptional customer service, and superior delivery from locations in East Flat Rock, Brevard, and Greer. Now is the time to prepare for patio season with a visit to Kaysen Builder Supply in East Flat Rock to see displays of outdoor rooms, pavers, retaining walls, and fire pits. Kaysen Builder Supply, providing exceptional service for over 40 years. The official sponsor of patio season. KaysenCompaniesInc.com.
This is Caroline from WAG, a unique pet boutique. The food that you feed your animals has a direct correlation to their health and longevity. Did you know that your pet's diet directly affects their behavior too? At WAG, we can help you tailor a meal plan designed around your pet's specific needs. We can order quality, healthful foods for your dog or cat. Remember, just like you, each of your pets is an individual. Let us at WAG help you find the perfect match for your four-legged family member. WAG, a unique pet boutique, 231 North Main Street, downtown Hendersonville.
Come see the 2019 collection of Barefoot and Public Art Bears for the first time at the annual Bear Reveal. With 20 brand new creations of Hendersonville's lovable, huggable public art, this year's bears are sure to put a smile on your face. Join the Friends of Downtown Friday, May the 10th at 6 p.m. at the First Citizens Bank Plaza on Main Street as they kick off another year of the Barefoot and Public Walk. Find more information on Facebook at Downtown Hendersonville NC or online at downtownhendersonville.org.
In business, relationships matter and trust must be earned. Duraline Imaging wants a chance to earn your trust and your business. Duraline is your single point of contact for office equipment sales, supplies, service, and repair. Duraline Imaging provides copier and printer sales and service solutions that lower cost, reduce waste, and simplify operations. Give Duraline a chance to earn your trust and your business. Give them a call today at 692-1301. Duraline Imaging, 692-1301.
And we are back with Lightning Thursday with Bill Moss, editor and publisher of Hendersonville Lightning and HendersonvilleLightning.com. Bill, I've got a breaking story for you.
Okay.
The new restaurant Shine, downtown Hendersonville? As of today, open for lunch.
Oh, open for lunch.
Shine is now open for lunch.
I thought you were going to say the other word.
That's coming.
Okay. I rode my bicycle down Main Street last night after a little short ride up and over a mountain. Yeah. And I said, I'm going to ride by Shine because I had been hearing this from Layla.
Yeah.
These two magic words, May or May 1st or something.
Yeah.
So I said, this is May 1st. Let's check it out. Looked, no sign of a soul up there so far.
Well, step one is open for lunch. And as of today, Shine is now open for lunch downtown.
Well, that's
so.
Had to get some more wait staff personnel, and it's doing well. It continues to do well, though, right?
Yep, absolutely.
Get the kinks out.
All right, let's get to the headlines here, Bill. Big headline on this week's Lightning that you'll find in your mailboxes and on the streets today. Griffin relents on ICE partnership, which immigration attorney blasts. Tell us that story, Bill.
Yeah, interesting. This happened a week at the meeting. Well, actually, it happened, when was it? Late last week, I think it was. Still fairly new, Lowell Griffin, announced just with a news release, really, that he was going to renew this agreement with ICE under the 287G of the United States government or whatever that's called, to really work with ICE. It's a matter of working with ICE. ICE identifies if they send somebody that ICE is interested in. ICE identifies that they want the sheriff to hold that person with a detainer. And we, in the course of this, we had a long interview with George Pappas, who's probably one of the most active. You've seen him quoted a lot. He's been on television, and he's reacted to different things that have alarmed the Hispanic and Latino communities and, to some degree, the farming community when they have these Roundup is almost too dramatic a phrase, I think, to describe, because they really are not picking up that many people. But even if they go into a plant, or I don't know them going into orchards, but if they go into some place and pick up somebody, that they always call it targeted enforcement, to pick up one person that they know is a known felon and also here illegally, then that generates a lot of panic. This has been controversial. It's been an issue that's kind of been teetering on the edge of will he or won't he, that is Sheriff Griffin, renew the ICE 287G partnership. leadership since the campaign, as we describe it, that Griffin ran, if not as an ICE opponent, certainly as an ICE skeptic. He said it at one time it may have made money. It doesn't make money. It costs us money. It's just a lot of commotion. It's a lot of trouble. It does cause this bad feeling and to some degree mistrust. I think he acknowledges, certainly during the campaign, of the sheriff's office, which is not really involved in these things. But once you are 287G County, then you sort of get, fair or not, as a sheriff's office, you sort of get tarred with that same sense of distrust that the community has. In any event, very early on, some some people that agreed that thought sheriff shouldn't renew ICE would go to county commissions and stand up in public comment time and say, we're for the sheriff, the sheriff's idea. He shouldn't renew it. And then that sense that he might not renew it seemed to trigger an even larger uprising that went on for at least two or three meetings of Jane Bellillo, the Tea Party leader, and several other conservative folks that said, no, do not let Sheriff Griffin stop and pull out of the ICE program. So he made that announcement. We interviewed George Pappas, who really describes how the 287G works. He very strongly suggests that if it were to be challenged, the detainers are not legal warrants. Well, it's not. It's agreed they're not warrants. But he says because they are not warrants, you can't legally hold these people on these immigration violations, which are, he says, civil offenses. So read in the lightning the different points of view. Sheriff Griffin very strongly defends the action as something that is good to keep criminals off the street, but also on a parallel track talks about having appointed this community liaison that he's not filled the position yet, but he's created and gotten agreement from the Board of Commissioners to fund this community liaison that will try to bridge the sheriff's office and all of its law enforcement activities. And indeed, the stuff that they know about that may be going on through ICE will try to bridge the sheriff's office and the Latino community, the farming community, certainly out in Edneyville, in the orchards and elsewhere, in the greenhouses, and all over the town, that Lowell Griffin has always spoken with a fair amount of empathy and sympathy toward, not just the workers, but the farmers, the roofers, the hotel maid services that rely on our Hispanic workforce.
And you were talking about those commissioner meetings. I recall from reading The Lightning and from listening to Lightning Radio that in one of those commissioner meetings, the commissioner said, whatever it costs, we'll do it.
They have absolutely said that, and they absolutely actually acted on that. That's a good point. I'm glad you mentioned. In the mid-month meeting when they said, well, you say this is costing you a lot, particularly in jailers, and you need some new jailers. We hereby fund we fund those jailers. Here you go. And in our interview with Sheriff Griffin, he did mention that he had managed to kind of plan this from an administrative point of view, where he said that it was going to cost him one sergeant, which would be a sheriff's deputy sergeant, and another jailer, and he needs more jailers for some separate reasons, really, apart from this. It has to do with new state regulations on how many jailers per inmate and some safety things and some eyes on the inmates kind of issues. So looks like that is resolved for now.
Let's move on to another story, and perfect timing, too. I was driving on King Street the other day and about to turn onto 64, and all of a sudden I saw right in front of me a big painting on the street that showed I-26, and I thought, has that been there? I've never noticed that before. Well, apparently DOT has been here doing some safety fixes.
You've noticed it. Other motorists have noticed it. The Lightning has noticed it, and Lightning is once again the first to report on this. What are they? Who put them there? Why did the NCDOT put them there? And when you talk about driving northbound on King Street, US 25. 45. Have you ever been in a jam up there, or have you ever had somebody try to cut in?
Because
we have a lot of visitors. We have a lot of tourists.
Trying to figure out how to get
somewhere.
We have
young drivers, some older drivers that suddenly see, oh, my gosh, I'm trying to go to Walmart. I got to get over. And by that time, the right lane is already well stacked up. It's stacked up sometimes for even six blocks. So it's good to have that early on. It's two different places before you get to the stoplight at sixth, which is US 64 East, and at 7th, which is US 64 West. It is, they have done other things that we show a picture of, which is called, they've louvered some in on the signal heads. They've louvered the green light because apparently, and I didn't know about this, but apparently some drivers, if you're at the Grove Street stoplight, for some reason, you're looking ahead at the King Street stoplight, you're westbound, you're looking at the King Street stoplight, and that green was coming on, and people were jumping that stoplight when it was red. That was literally caught. We asked police chief about that. And we're like, does this happen? He said, oh, yeah. He said, this happened to me. He said, apparently he was there and either almost got hit or saw with his own eyes. He saw one of these just inadvertently jumping that red light because that green light a block away comes on and you're without thinking, you're going ahead and hitting the gas.
I read that too and questioned that. That's interesting.
Well, I questioned it, but and we talked to the NCDOT engineer, we talked to city manager, we talked to police chief, and they all said, there's a whole lot of accidents. One of the highest, as far as an accident rate, is very high, even by statewide standards. And they all said, this business with the with the green light a block away was one of the factors causing that. So they louvered that one. I think they've louvered three or four, and there's a little bit more work yet to come.
Yeah.
And then finally, there are some. These are prominent and very noticeable too. There's some of those flashing lights that say a stoplight is ahead.
Right.
There's one of those on Four Seasons Boulevard. Westbound before you get to that Harris Street, Ash Street intersection. And there's one eastbound before you get to the, I think it's the Church Street stoplight. So we're going to be safer. We should, thanks to the NCDOT for identifying this. This started like 4 or 5 years ago.
Wow.
they analyzed, they saw the traffic statistics and said, man, there's a lot of wrecks there. We have to do something about these crashes. So they came up with these fixes. These are the traffic engineers.
It'll be interesting to see if it works.
Yeah, well, exactly. I would like to go back, the lightning can bird dog that and see, look at this a year or two down the road.
Yeah.
It'll take a while.
And see if it made a difference.
Statistics run, a year or two behind. We'd have to, but we'll still be around 2022. We'll check it out.
Oh, absolutely.
We'll be here on the show and we'll say what it came out.
Hey, something else that's coming back. Rhythm and Brews is coming back. The first one is coming up here, the third Thursday in May, with some changes. You've got a little story on that.
Yeah, I really like this. Our reporter, Olivia Stuller, got this, and I had heard about it as well. And the reason I chuckle about it is because I think it was last year or even the year before, I was talking for the season opening story with Lou Holloway, the downtown development coordinator, and I asked him what's new, and he just laughed. He said, all reporters always ask that question, what's new? And usually they're not that much new, but there's new this
year. There is new this year, yeah.
One less act, three more breweries. So, Mark, if lines are too long, sometimes they are, especially early on in the show at Southern App or Sierra Nevada, you'll have three more choices you can go to, because now they've signed up, in addition to those two, Triskelion Brewery, Dry Falls, and Sanctuary Brewing Company. Three other downtown Hendersonville-based microbreweries will all be on site pouring.
Excellent. I'm looking forward to the first Rhythm and Brews this year.
Yeah, and as for Lou Holloway says it's going to be more beer garden like. He also says it's going to be more quality music festival like, with stronger and longer acts.
Right, down to two acts
because
now.
Less of them.
Yeah.
They've dropped that kind of local yokel singer-songwriter. Here's an up-and-comer you need to know about. And yeah. I don't know if that was that was at 5. One last change, starting at 5:30 mm-hmm. instead of 5. Starting at 5:30 with that real strong, popular undercard, you might say, with the opening act. And then finishing, I think that might come on... Oh, maybe it's the same. Is it the same time that this? So the headliner comes on, what, 8 o'clock? No, we've got that in here somewhere.
Yeah, or maybe it's 5:30 to 7:30, something like that. Maybe that's what it is.
I think that's right.
Yeah.
Starting May 16th with the broadcast after the opening act called The Screaming Jays. So get out there. Great thing. This has been one of those singular... unrivaled successes as far as an event downtown, and the one that really inaugurated, crashed through the dry history of downtown Hendersonville.
Absolutely,
with having beer and wine legally on the street.
Excellent. So that's coming up May the 16th. Let's touch on before we finish up. Touch on a couple of other stories. Very well deserved. Award for Fran Shelton, who is retired Hendersonville High School band director.
Absolutely great that we heard about this, Fran Shelton winning, and deservedly so, the induction into the North Carolina Bandmasters Hall of Fame. Listen to this, becoming the youngest band leader to be honored and the fourth female band director to be honored. 28 years with the Hendersonville High School Band. Most of those also with the Hendersonville Junior High and then Hendersonville Middle School Band. Only, Mark, this is kind of amazing, out of almost 100 years old, only the fourth band director of Hendersonville High School taken over from Jim Stokes, you might recall. So there's always been a lot of longevity in that really quality, tradition-rich program. And finally, a great thing about this is guess who nominated Fran Shelton?
Who nominated?
A past student that she mentored a lot when he was a musician at Hendersonville High School, Steve Sigmund, who has done a whole lot, gets a lot of credit, deservedly so, for really kind of reviving, resurrecting the North Henderson band program.
Yep.
So Steve Sigmund, now the band director of North Henderson, nominated Fran. I think he will be there on Sunday when she gets this award down at UNC Greensboro. So congratulations to Fran. Congratulations to Hendersonville High School. Thank you to Steve Sigmund for making that nomination. And yet another piece of evidence that we have the best quality in schools and music and lots of stuff here in our town.
Absolutely. Lots more stories in the lightning, but let's touch on one more if we can before we finish up. Big banking news, Bill. First Citizens Bank is going to be swallowing up Integra.
Well, it's big banking news, and sometimes there's big banking news that doesn't make a ripple in our town,
but in this case,
it's likely to. We don't have the answer. We only have the question in reporting that First Citizens Bank made this bid, and it's kind of an interesting way, if you like banking news as we do, that Integra back in January had announced this deal to really be acquired by what was called Smart Financial. I think it's out of Knoxville, Tennessee, at a rate of $458 million, which came out to $22.36 per share. Well, it turned out there was a little bit of an Integra shareholder uprising about that, thinking that offer undervalued Integra Bank. And they said, well, reckon we can get somebody else to bid on that. And they did. And First Citizens then bid substantially higher, $220 million or $30.18.
Wow.
So that almost $6 per share you picked up for your, you know, 10, 20, 40,000. If you're one of these high rollers, you got a lot of shares. You just made a lot of money when they flipped this from Smart Financial to First Citizens. But the question arises, given that these two banks are downtown prominently across the street, less than a block apart in the 605 in Integra's case and 500 block. We just wonder, we're trying to find out. Again, we'll continue to make calls and try to run that to the ground as far as what might happen to the real estate and those two headquarter branches right there on Main Street.
Wow. Yep, that's going to be interesting to find out what they do there. Once again, folks, there's still so much more news to find in the Hendersonville Lightning, which is on the streets and in your mailboxes. Bill, tell folks where they can pick up their copy of this week's Hendersonville Lightning.
Oh, by visiting any of the Lightning Orange news racks all around the county, 60 of those, or our dealer partners such as convenience stores, coffee shops, and one of them that gets a lot of business, the new Publix there on Greenville Highway, or by going to HendersonvilleLightning.com and clicking on that red tab which says subscribe, and that will walk you through how to use your credit or debit card to join the growing legions of Hendersonville Lightning fans that get their Lightning today, Lightning Thursday. Or call Jan at 698-0407, or best of all, come see us at 1111 Asheville Highway.